I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Savannah Zayas was determined to graduate from high school and defy the odds. She'd gotten pregnant when she was in middle school and decided to be the best mother she could be and be a good student, not an easy thing to do. She's featured in the new podcast Schooled, hosted by Kevin McCrory. It's a series about public schools told from the perspectives of students, teachers, and parents. He followed Savannah's last year at Edison High School in North Philadelphia. She was in the honors program and just graduated in June. Here's a clip from the podcast.
I don't care how hard it will be, I'm going to do it. I'm going to push myself because I know I want better for me and my child. So I'd rather work hard than struggle my whole life.
She knows that many of her peers aren't so focused and mature.
I had to grow up really fast.
To truly understand this and just how difficult it's been for Savannah to get where she is today, you need to go all the way back to the beginning. Actually, even before then.
We asked Savannah Zayas to be our guest on Radio Times today. She's in Florida. She's working in a real estate office, and her daughter, Layla, is about to start kindergarten. Savannah Zayas, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning, and congratulations on being in this podcast. It's really quite extraordinary, and we're going to talk all about that. Let me introduce our three other guests. Kevin McCrory is an education reporter at WHYY for Keystone Crossroads, and that's a multi-station project. It's based at WHYY. It examines the urgent challenges facing Pennsylvania's cities, and I should say this debut podcast, Schooled, is a three-part series about Savannah. Kevin, nice to have you back with us.
Thanks,
on Radio
Marty.
Times.
Great to be here.
And we have two more guests. Maura Berndt is director of youth programs at Providence Center. That's a North Philadelphia nonprofit where Savannah worked. Maura, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
And rounding out our quartet of guests, we have Sidney Coffin. He's an English journalism and poetry teacher at Edison High School where Savannah attended. And Sidney, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. Savannah, let me begin with you. Why were you so determined to get your high school diploma?
For me, that was one of the most important things I've had as a goal since I could, like, ever think.
So even when you were a little girl, you said, I am going to get a high school diploma?
I remember when I was about, like, 11 years old and about how my mom told me going into high school is going to be very difficult. And I wanted to, like, prove everyone that ever said me going to high school and getting my diploma is going to be very difficult.
And how does it feel now that you proved that?
It makes me want to cry every day because I'm so happy.
Well, we're going to tell more of your story. Let me get our other three guests in on the conversation. Kevin, how did you meet Savannah?
So I met Savannah when she testified at a city council hearing in May of 2016. And this was a year in the Philadelphia School District where staffing services were extraordinarily strained. The district had outsourced its contract for finding new teachers and finding substitutes to this untested private firm, and it didn't go well at all, disastrously so, especially in the first few months of the school year. And Savannah really felt the brunt of that at Edison. And she testified at that meeting and was so thoughtful and mature and striking in her ability to express the emotion she was going through, feeling kind of abandoned by her school.
And I do want to play that. We'll get it set up. This would be Savannah testifying at council. But let me ask you, Maura, how you first met Savannah.
I first met Savannah when she interviewed for a teen leadership program that we have at Providence Center. We have 10 local high school youth, usually from the public schools, who serve as mentors and role models to younger students in an elementary after-school program for us. So I met her when she was referred to us by a teacher.
And what was your first impression?
I was so impressed. She came into the office and was so poised, was so passionate. She really has this radiance of joy that she wants to share with people. And I remember in her interview she expressed that while she had many challenges, she wanted to make sure that students like her who were experiencing those same things had support. And I've seen her really be able to provide that for other students.
And how about for you, Sidney? You met her at Edison High School.
Yes, she was my student for the last semester of her senior year in English class. And we had met before that. I'd certainly seen her around the school. She started as a freshman when I started as a new teacher at Edison, coming from another school.
Use the word buoyant in Kevin's piece to describe Savannah. Buoyant.
Yes, she's very resilient and very upbeat. And she was usually the first one there when she was in school. She was like right there at 7:35 when school began at 7:41. She'd come walking in like, all right, what are we going to do? What's up?
Was that unusual to see a student so committed?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the students kind of dribbled in over the next 25 minutes or even more. And she was somebody who, when she was there, was really enthusiastic mm-hmm. about getting things done. And she kind of had some good friends in that class who also really lifted up the class and made it an exciting one to teach.
For the students, but obviously for the teacher
as well, right? Yeah, I'm selfish.
You know. You committed students. Savannah, I'm going to play some of your testimony. Kevin mentioned this. This is testimony that you gave at City Council. It was about teacher absenteeism at Edison High School. There's also a reference to a teacher that you really love, Mrs. Woodward, who was at Edison and has since moved on to Olney High School. But let me just play this for our listeners. And this is you giving some testimony.
I know that coming from a neighborhood like mine, I'm going to have to work harder than other students to get into college. I will need good scholarships and therefore need good scores and standardized tests to make myself stand out. I need teachers who present each day to support me through this. I used to know my source of support. Her name was Ms. Woodward. She was my English avid teacher. She motivated me to keep striving even though the moments... This is very emotional. Even though the moment sometime got hard, unfortunately, she left, and my support system did too. I feel lost, and I feel unmotivated. My grades, which have been very high, reflected that too.
Savannah, that's just such a moving testimony that you gave. It's hard not to have tears in our eyes as you give that testimony, especially talking about Mrs. Woodward. Why did you want to give that testimony at Philadelphia City Council?
Actually, this was a big step for me. My ex-supervisor, her name was Grace, and she actually encouraged me to sit down and gather my thoughts, and she helped me a lot to be able to express myself in the way that I did, and she kind of like, she pushed me, because Helen Ginn came to my school for a meeting, and I was really afraid to even speak. And she was just like, speak, and you don't know what's going to happen. Just speak. And I spoke, and then I got personally invited to the next meeting, and that's when I met Kevin. And I was really excited that I was able to share how I felt about a teacher that meant so much to me.
And there's several people in this podcast that we meet who have meant so much to you, Savannah. I mean, the podcast is about so many things, but it's also about committed teachers, committed counselors who want to make sure that students like you succeed. Can you talk a little bit about that, about how important that is?
For me, that was one of, like, my important moments, because they always seem to bring out the best in me when I've always felt like I couldn't do any more, or when I felt like I couldn't handle as much as I was handling. And no matter how I felt, they always knew like something was wrong. They always wanted to make sure that I was okay and that things were going right and I was reaching my goals and I was accomplishing things that I wanted to accomplish. And that's what I like really loved about each and every person in my story, because they always made sure that I was okay.
I mean, it sounds like they knew you. They knew what to look for if you were having a bad day, for instance.
Yes, they really truly did. And I think that like it just our trust, and I grew a relationship with them over a period of time. And I'm happy that I'm open the way that I am, because if I wasn't, I don't think I would have met anyone or have gotten this close to anyone.
Maura, you want to talk about that? You worked with Savannah. You've worked with other kids as well about the importance of stable, caring relationships.
Absolutely. Something that I say often is that when you think about youth and growing up and developing your identity and your sense of community, that's something that everyone needs. Everybody needs that. But the students growing up in Kensington and in our area, they need it even more because there's so much trauma happening in those communities. There's violence. Like Savannah often says, she had to grow up fast. And for students who are growing up fast and facing more of those challenges sooner, they need more of those supports. And that's what we try to create at Providence Center is here's this space where you can have that with your own peers and with mentors. And Savannah's been that to other students.
Yeah. Savannah, did that feel like a safe place for you?
When I first encountered Providence Center, I felt like it was my peace place. And I've been calling that place my peace place since I've met Maura and everyone there. And that's exactly what she said she wanted us to feel. Like this was our place to be at peace. And I truly felt that every day, no matter how angry I was coming into work, just seeing them excited and wanting to see me as just as I wanted to see them was, it was kind of candy. Like that is what drew me there every single day. Just seeing that I care for these people and they care for me just as the same was the, it was just an incredible feeling. I kind of thought like there wasn't any more people like that. Like there weren't any more people that kind of just like were so excited to see me and so excited to see how my day was and just wanted to see if everything was fine and just crack a joke and just, you know, just be themselves. And just, it was just like the energy there felt like home.
That is so powerful. Let me turn to you, Kevin. One of the things you say in this podcast about Savannah, she refused to harden. She remained optimistic and open.
Yeah, I think that's one of her most remarkable traits because, you know, if you listen to her story in the podcast, it can be pretty brutal, especially in the early part of her life, but up until to this day, honestly. And the fact that she continues to stay positive, I'm getting emotional.
No, I think we're all feeling some version of that. Did you see some of that as well in your dealing with her, Sydney, as well? Mm-hmm. As you said, the first person in the class, let's get down to work, let's get going.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, senior year is a particularly challenging time. You think that you're done, but you've got all these things piling up, and there's the anticipation of not knowing what's next, not knowing maybe where you're going, or it's entirely new, and there's a lot of stress involved. And
sure.
I see the seniors go through it, you know, every single one of them in their own way and processing it. And she had a good friend in Lewis who would meet her every day after class and walk her to her next class, and that was crucial for her. But she even came to me before the class began. I guess we began early February. She came to me in January and with the counselor and said, look, I've got some challenges, and I would really love it if you would be understanding that some days I won't be there, but I'll always do the work. Just let me know what I need to do, and I'll catch up.
And she's going to school in the honors program and also being a mother.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
Are some of the challenges. Savannah, we're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation talking with Savannah Zayas. And she's featured in this new podcast. It's called Schooled, and it's hosted, produced by Kevin McCory, education reporter at WHYY for Keystone Crossroads. Maura Berndt is with us as well, director of youth programs at Providence Center. That's in North Philly, where Savannah worked. And also with us, Sydney Coffin, English journalism and poetry professor, teacher at Edison High School. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane with four guests talking with Savannah Zayas, and she is joining us from Florida. She's living there having just graduated from Edison High School, which is here in North Philadelphia. She's got a five-year-old daughter, Layla, who's about to start kindergarten. And her story is featured in this new podcast. It's called Schooled, and it's hosted by Kevin McCory, education reporter for Keystone Crossroads. We've been playing some clips from that. Also with us, one of Savannah's teachers at Edison, Sydney Coffin, and Maura Berndt, who runs a program for teens in North Philadelphia. And you can join our conversation by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. You can comment on our comment line, 267-405-2006. In fact, a text from Mark, congratulations, Savannah, on your graduation. Keep up the great work. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at whyyradiotimes. Kevin, I know you wanted to say something.
Yeah, we were talking before the break about what keeps Savannah open, and I just felt like I had to say further, you know, her relationship with her daughter, and in that moment, when she's 14 years old and she's pregnant, and then she's 15 and she's a mom, and that being such a life-altering experience for her. And there's a contrast where her mom was 16 when she had Savannah.
Right.
And it was very difficult for her mom to deal with that. Savannah took it in the opposite direction and really embraced motherhood. And one of the first times I interviewed her, and she talked about giving birth as like a flower blooms. It's patience, love, and time. And I was just blown away when she said that.
Absolutely. Savannah, I mean, your daughter figures so much in your life, obviously, but also in this podcast as well. I mean, you were determined to get a high school diploma, and also it seems determined to be a really good mom to your daughter. And I think for a lot of teenagers, what were you, 15 years old when you had your daughter? That would have sent you on a completely different path. But it seems from the podcast and from what we've learned from you and from people that have worked with you, your daughter provided this real anchor for you so that you could get on with your life. Help us understand that.
My daughter, for me, is a very inspirational person. She inspires me to be brave and to be strong and just to love myself. Having my daughter made me appreciate my life so much because of her. And I just really want to just try my best to give her everything I've never gotten. Just the bond and the attachment and the love that I've never received from my mom, to be honest, because we're not close. And I want to be my daughter's best friend. I want to be my daughter's everything. And I want her to always know that I love her with all my heart, and I'm going to try to do my best, the best that I can, and to keep moving forward no matter how hard it gets. And I want her to see that I'm a person that I'm never going to stop. I always put my mind to what I want, and I'm a go-getter, and I want her to be exactly the same way. I want to do great in her eyes so she can do better.
And it sounds like that is working based on everything that I know about you, Savannah, so far. Let me play another clip from Kevin's podcast, and this is you, Savannah, and your mother. You're actually describing the time when you started being sexually active. You had a boyfriend at the time, a guy named Miguel, and you and your mother having a difference of opinion about what happened. Let's listen to that, and then we'll talk.
Okay.
The summer between 6th and 7th grade, when Savannah was 14 and Miguel was 17, Savannah approached her mom about sex.
I got curious, and I asked her, and she told me, that's your decision, and decisions you make, you will pay for them. And my mom gave me 2 condoms and told me, whatever happens after this is your responsibility.
She came and she told me, Mom, I'm ready. I'm like, look, I sat down with both of them. I said, these are the condoms. I mean, this is not something you should be doing. But if you're ready, I'm not going to. Even if I tell you not to do it, you're going to do it anyway.
And I gave it to him. I was like, I didn't even want to, like, do it. I was just curious. And I gave it to him, I turned off the lights, and I told him, I'm like, I want to try it, but as soon as I tell you to stop, it's stop. And he didn't use a condom. And I trusted him.
Savannah and I talked about this while looking at the house where it happened.
And I turned on the lights afterwards, because it didn't really go on for much. And I turned on the lights afterwards, and I saw the condom still wrapped on the floor, and I just cried.
Savannah, do you feel like, I mean, the important people in your life have let you down?
Yeah, I kind of felt that a lot, because the one person that I've never wanted to make me feel the way that I felt was my mom. Mm-hmm. I've always tried, like, different ways to have conversations and have, like, meditations with her and have stress relief strategies, and I've learned all these things from Providence Center, and every time I've tried to learn different things, I've always tried to reach out, and it's always been a failure.
To try to connect with your mom, can you talk a little bit more about just, you've worked with Savannah, and I'm assuming other girls, teenage girls like her at Providence Center, about, I mean, we talked earlier about the importance of relationship, but, you know, these are life-changing things that happen. And it depends on how you deal with the consequences.
Absolutely. I mean, our teens have so many different varied backgrounds and experiences, but all of them have experienced some really challenging things growing up. And, you know, we want to value their experience. And I think that in the neighborhood that they come from, those stories of success aren't told. So oftentimes the meaning of the relationship is first a chance to have somebody hear your story and validate that you have overcome so much. And then someone to say, I don't need to teach you how to do things. You have this inherent wisdom, but everyone needs to learn skills.
Right.
Everyone needs to learn coping strategies. We talk a lot about how to deal with stress, a lot about how to work through challenges, whether they're within yourself or with another person, and then how to start modeling those, because the people that change your community have to come from within that community. And when our teens begin to see themselves as the future leaders and as the current leaders, because right. The kids are watching you. I always tell the teens, the kids aren't going to look at me and decide, I'm going to do that because Mara did it. They're going to look at you and say, Savannah did it. I want to be like her. So that's really what we try to do.
Sydney, I'm thinking you teach English, poetry, and now journalism. I'm assuming the kids in your class write about their lives. I'm thinking what poetry often does, you know, brings out these feelings, sometimes these memories. Do you feel like the kids are speaking to you through the things that they write?
Absolutely. I mean, the nice thing about a poetry class is that while there may be a lot more kids than I would prefer, and it's not, you know, an 8-student, you know, workshop where right. We're intimately talking, but they write it down and they have this venue in which to express themselves and kind of reveal or share or, you know, articulate some of the things they've been through. And everybody at Edison has seemed to gravitate towards it as an opportunity to share that side of themselves.
Right.
But even in the senior English class that Savannah was in, they were writing memoirs. The senior graduation requirement was to write a kind of a personal statement of 4 pages or so. And she wrote a very meaningful one that I got a chance to read and help her edit it. But all the seniors, I mean, I wish I could put out a book of all those essays, because every single one of them just opens up worlds.
Open
up. And right. I wish every new teacher coming to Edison had to read those, because they would say, oh my gosh, this is a remarkable place with remarkable kids.
Something good to know. Go ahead,
and
Kevin.
And for me, this whole story, the idea was, you know, so often I write about politics and policy and, you know, wonky, nitty-gritty stuff, but what's happening in students' lives and what's happening at home and what's happening that's behind all of this stuff. And one of the revelations for me is that, you know, here's Savannah, and she has a great story, and she is able to tell it, but there are so many kids like her. And there are so many kids like her who probably can't speak to it as well as she can. And that's
but they're
why,
living it.
And they're living it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's scary, because Savannah does know to advocate for herself. And she does know to stay open and make relationships with people like Mara and like Sydney.
Yeah.
And other kids might not.
And other kids might not. So in certain ways, Savannah, you're probably speaking for her for a lot of kids. This is a difficult part of our conversation here, but this is so much a part of your life. Your father sexually abused you over the years. He's now in prison, as I understand it, in part because you spilled the beans on what he was not just doing to you, but also to, I believe, a sibling in your family. And this, you know, this is a very difficult thing to try to deal with. How have you been able to deal with this particular trauma in your life?
I feel that therapy really helped me at the age that I was, up till I could finally comprehend what was actually done to me. And I feel that writing is the best gift that therapy has ever showed me, because if I wasn't able to express myself through writing, I don't think I would have ever gone I don't think I would have ever overcame this, because to this day, I still write. I'll have books of years from 9th grade to 12th grade where I just wrote. I just wrote my worst days. I wrote my happiest days. I wrote my important days, and I just wrote.
I'm also thinking how difficult it must have been for you to keep this secret. I mean, this horrible secret about what was happening to you. You finally did, though, tell your mother.
Yeah, I did. It was kind of confusing for me, but I knew that I was hurt. I knew I was getting hurt because that's how I felt. I felt hurt. And I knew that I couldn't just keep it quiet anymore because I knew it was going to get worse.
Sure.
And every day that I woke up being so small like that, I just didn't want anyone else, my brother, my sister, and my mom, I just didn't want us all to be hurt if I didn't open my mouth. And I didn't care if he said they were my mom or not. I at that point, I just didn't care anymore. I felt really bad. I felt really hurt. And for some reason, I felt like it was my fault. I've always felt that it was my fault.
Even today?
But I'm happy.
Even today?
No, today I feel more of like, before I even started talking to Kevin, I used to blame it on my mom because of the fact of the first time an incident happened is when I got smacked in the face. Mm-hmm. And it was bad. And she allowed him to come back in the house. And I felt like that was the first sign of me trying to tell her what he was doing. And he avoided the whole thing and draw the attention of him smacking me. And then the second time was how he hit me so hard with his belt that I couldn't sit. And I felt like that was the second warning where she should have known that he was not only physically abusing me, but doing more than just putting his hands and items on me. I felt like that was warning for her to know not to bring him back home, not to keep allowing him to be here. But it wasn't. It wasn't enough.
What you did, though, was the right thing. It was the brave thing to do, and you should feel good about what you did to protect not just yourself but also your family and any other person that this man could have abused. So I hope, Savannah, you feel that you did the right thing.
I do. I truly do.
Good.
And I'm kind of happy because it made me strong. It made me really strong.
Absolutely. Let me get Susan from Northeast Philadelphia to join our conversation. Susan, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Morning.
I used to teach at Edison High School. I was an art teacher there for 13 years.
Wow.
I had many really talented students. Unfortunately, the academics often were failing. And I had a wonderful student, really talented, really bright, got accepted to Temple's art school, Philo, where I went, and he was out after the first semester because he didn't have the kind of, and I think almost no colleges offer this, the kind of mentoring and support system that students like this one need when they go to college. It's as if going to college in a foreign country where you don't speak the language and you don't know the customs, and unless you've got somebody to make sure that you are doing what you need to do, they're lost. And it's very, very discouraging. So I would just urge her to maybe start a community college where there will be at least students who are more similar and more sympathetic to the same issues she's grappling with. And at least, colleges are very happy to cap kind of the amount of minority students they accept. I'd like them to count the amount of minority students that graduate.
Well, you know, Susan, I don't want to get too off track here, but I appreciate the comment you made about, and I'm looking at you actually, Sydney, about, you know, what kids need. And one of the things you say in your piece, Kevin, is that when you look at the kids in Philadelphia, they get something like $7,400 per student.
That was specifically at Edison.
Edison, but obviously you drive a couple miles away and it's a lot more than that. So these are the, in certain ways, the neediest kids, but they get the fewest resources.
Yeah, I mean, and we can talk on about Pennsylvania school funding, and that's a whole other issue. But certainly in a system that is very parochialized, we have 500 school districts in this state divided by wealth and poverty. And we have a system that highly values local property taxes to fund schools. So in areas like Philadelphia, like Kensington, right, where there's not a lot of property wealth, you're not going to have schools that are resourced in the way that it is commensurate to the challenges in those buildings. And you will have a lot of resources, obviously, in richer districts where you can argue maybe the need isn't so high.
You want to speak to that, Sydney? I mean, you've been working at Edison you've been working in the school system almost 20 years in Philadelphia.
Yeah, almost. I think that it's exhausting as a teacher, but it's probably much more exhausting as a student. I mean, I talk with the students pretty intimately about the challenges they face, both as you know, in their personal lives to some extent, but academically and at you know schools like Edison or Olney or University City where I've taught. I have one student who's living in my house right now because he actually had the benefit of going to Edison, graduating, offered to go to Sarah Lawrence College, one of the most expensive colleges in the country, and a great school. It's where I went, and that's why I took him up there. I said, I think this is the right place for you. But like the caller said, I mean, he needs mentoring. He needs support. His mentor, he called home from college and said, I don't have a place to stay for the summer. And so he's staying in my house. I never thought I'd be adopted. but he needs
student.
The mentoring. And I'm trying to give it to him, even though it's exhausting. But if everybody did that, everybody would have a mentor. And I wish that there were people who, you know, like Mara, I mean, you have the opportunity to mentor a few kids, and I would like to think that we could all do that.
Let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. Susan, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And you can call as well. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can text us on our comment line, another phone number, 267-405-2006. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join our conversation. We're talking about and with Savannah Zayas, and she is featured in this new podcast. It's called Schooled, and the podcast is hosted by Kevin McCory, education reporter at WHYY for Keystone Crossroads. Maura Burns is with us as well, director of youth programs at Providence Center in North Philly. Savannah worked there. Sydney Coffin is an English journalism and poetry teacher. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. Now imagine being a single teenage mother living in a poor neighborhood, dealing with family trauma, determined to get a high school diploma. Most students drop out under those difficult circumstances, but not our guest, Savannah Zayas. She defied the odds. She graduated from Edison High School in Philadelphia this year. She's living and working in Florida. And again, she's featured in this new podcast called Schooled, hosted by Kevin McCory, education reporter for Keystone Crossroads. Also with us, one of her teachers at Edison, Sydney Coffin. And also with us, Maura Burnt runs a program for teens in North Philadelphia. And again, you can join our conversation by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. Savannah, our caller talked about community college, and you did get accepted at Philadelphia Community College, correct?
Yes.
Do you have plans? You're in Florida. Are you still thinking the college route or the community college route?
Yeah, I am. But it kind of like makes it a little difficult because I kind of left my car in Philly. So I need a car to be able to like do what I actually want to do here. But I still in mind, and I'm still going to look forward into doing night classes because that's my goal.
Right. To get a college degree.
So we should just be clear here that Savannah's plan originally was to go to the Community College of Philadelphia, and right after graduation, there was some tension came to a head with her and her mom, and it just was clear to her that she needed to leave, and she moved to Florida with her daughter to live with her grandparents, and that seems like it's a good thing personally and for her home life right now, but it definitely does complicate this question of college. And to the caller's point, Providence was a system of support for her that if she was in Philadelphia, it would be that much easier for her to do it. And in Florida, without that there, it's just a little bit harder.
And these are tough choices, Savannah, about what you need for yourself, what you need for your daughter, your future, the present, all of that.
Yes, it is.
One of the things that we learn, and we heard you talking to city council about this tough year at Edison, but there were, I mean, clearly you had attendance problems, and I know it was, there was, a question not just about whether you were going to graduate, but whether you could be part of the ceremony, and also you've been in the honors program. What was that year like, and what were the absences about?
My absences actually were latenesses. So there's like a rule that the school district follows that it's supposedly every three latenesses equals an absences. So I wasn't aware of that before I got permission to attend school after taking my daughter, which I got permission from, and then eventually kind of got thrown in my face when Kevin came saying, no, you didn't get permission for this. But that was the reason why I had so many absences, was because I was arriving late because I was determined to make sure that my daughter had education as well as I did.
Go ahead.
And the reason for that year being very difficult for me was because I felt as though I didn't have that support that kind of understood the reason of me being absent and late, and I got kind of taken out of things that I was really passionate about, and that was like JROCT, which is like the Air Force, my National Honor Society. I felt was very unfair because the moment that I got kicked out, I was literally talking to Kevin that same week, letting him know, like, hey, next week they said they were going to have a meeting on Monday again to verify, you know, so we can have like basically a defense on our side to be able to explain why of whatever the problem was, absences or latenesses or whatever the case was. And I felt like it was unfair because I didn't even get the chance that Monday morning the next week to be able to attend the meeting to defend myself. They just basically straight kicked me off. And then it was like after that, I felt like I was being abandoned. I felt like I was being left out because everyone always said, including the principal, always said I was the school cheerleader. And yeah, it was just like, how did you give me such a broad name? It made me feel so horrible.
Right. I mean, obviously a very tough period in your life. Maura, you want to talk about that? And, you know, I was listening to Kevin's podcast. I thought, well, if they had childcare at Edison High School, wouldn't that have made... Sydney, wouldn't that have made her life easier?
There is a pre-K at Edison.
But mm-hmm. even a daycare center.
Yeah, there's an early childhood career technical education program, and the kids actually work in that program, and some of them have their kids in it. And right. there's a really wonderful teen elect program there, because Savannah's not the only kid with a kid. And
I think the point for Savannah was, though, that she felt like there was another pre-K program that was of higher quality that she trusted.
Right.
And so she wanted her daughter to go there. She made that choice. And that made, you know, getting to school on time harder, especially when she couldn't consistently rely on her mom to get her daughter to school every morning. So that snowballed into problems. And we also should be clear, too, that Savannah is, a achieving student. She graduated with honors.
Right.
She graduated with a GPA that placed her within the top 25 in her class.
That's great.
And this is a person who, you know, takes school very seriously, right? So it's not like she's, trying to get out of something here.
And that's such an important point, Maura, about certainly about Savannah. I'm sure other kids that you deal with, just about the reality that they have to deal with in their life.
Absolutely. And it's, I'm always trying to imagine things from a teacher's point of view, because when they come to work after school, I'm in a similar position where, you have expectations of people, but then you also really have to consider what is the broader picture of their life. And their role within our program is so valuable. Nobody else can do what our teens do as role models. And so I think that it's important for myself and for teachers to be able to look at the big picture of a student's life and say, okay, but let's take things into account here. Mm-hmm. How can we ask someone to choose between, being a mom today, being a good mom today, and then being able to be a good mom in the future? It shouldn't have to be one or the other. We have to be able to look at how can we be flexible to let her be both, let her get her kid the best care that she can get today and let her continue on these goals without feeling like there's unnecessary obstacles in place.
Sure. Do you think schools, Sydney, can do that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we had really hoped at Edison to become a community school under Mayor Kenney's program. They reduced how many schools they were going to select, and I guess we did not make it. And we had done everything the year before to be a community school, and that would make the school kind of a center of the hub instead of just a spoke, and maybe we'd get services within the building so kids wouldn't have to miss so much school to get, you know, it would be great if there were like a transpass center in the school instead of a teacher having to go around and give them out. It'd be great if there were social workers in the school, if there were a doctor in the school. Not, I mean, nurses are great, but they're limited in legally what they can do. And it'd be great to have all that stuff in one place, like a mall of sorts, so that kids can do that.
Right. I mean, this is the community school model that Mayor Kenney has talked about and others as well.
Sure.
Let me play another clip from this podcast. And, Maura, this is you. You are Director of Youth Programs at Providence Center and talking to the students, including Savannah, about what they have accomplished. Let's give that a listen.
What you all have accomplished is really, really incredible. Graduating from high school, as many of us know, is it's a lot of work. You put a lot of time and effort into it, and that in and of itself is a lot. But you did it while also being a part of this program, which is remarkable, because with your demands on your family and things that you do for the people in your life, and then your schoolwork, and then bringing time and energy and love and passion to the work that you do with all of us. Like, I know I didn't do that in high school, and I don't know many people who did, and that's really, really remarkable. And then you also did it in a neighborhood where a really large percentage of students don't finish high school at all, and for fair reasons, because there's a lot of obstacles. So you did it while facing all of those things, and our kids got to see that. And that, more than anything that we could say to them, is really like a remarkable way to show them that despite those challenges, being a leader in your community is possible, and moving on to the next step in your education is possible, and caring for people with love and compassion and building community is possible even when it's hard. So thank you.
That's really nice, Maura.
Thank you.
I mean, I think inspiring for all of us. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just
Kevin.
Tell you about that day, Marty. That was the week before graduation, and yep. I met with Savannah, and she was so disillusioned. It was at the point where she was told, yes, you can go to the ceremony, but she had went through the ringer in, am I going to make it? Am I allowed to attend? And so finally she was allowed to attend, and she was so depressed that day, and like, she was disconnected. She's like, I can't believe that the day I've been waiting for so long is here, and it just doesn't feel right to me. This isn't how I thought it was going to be. And we went to Providence that day, and there was kind of a surprise party of sorts. And we walked in the door, and you know, everybody cheers, and you know, she was in such a great mood, and Mar gave that speech, and you know, Savannah had tears in her eyes, and yeah. They hugged afterwards, and it was just so clear in that moment that like, those people for her mean the world.
Yeah. Savannah, you want to talk about that?
I absolutely agree with Kevin, because I actually did feel like very disconnected, because I've been in that school for 4 years. Like, 4 years. That's a long time. And I've been in middle school with kids that are there, and I've seen teachers seen me from the age of 16 to 20. They've seen me grow. And I felt like there wasn't any connection with, like, anyone that I've used to talk to, and, like, teachers, you know, there's the teachers that I wanted to see me graduate that weren't there. And it was just, like, I kind of really felt disappointed. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like, why did you torment me and play with my emotions and made me go through obstacles to get to this day? I felt like the student that I am in that school, I deserved way more. I deserved a lot, and I didn't receive anything. I received the day that I was waiting for, the 4 years that I was there, to be played with. Like, I felt like I was being played like a game. And then when it was given to me because of Kevin, it was because of Kevin. And I say this all the time.
I don't know about
because
that.
He's not sure about that, Savannah.
Because I just feel, because if he didn't step in and kind of like, you know, had me go to the principal and you know, see what's up all the time and, like, just give me that courage to keep fighting, I would have never fought. And I would have said, I'm not going to graduation and no one's going to see me graduate and I'll get my diploma in the mail. And that's how I felt. And he gave me that courage to keep going, like, just go. And you'll see at the end, it's going to be worth it. At the end, you're going to feel amazing. And that's exactly how I felt. He made the teacher that I've always wanted for me to be there. She came. My boss, my supervisor, and my teacher that I had in 10th grade watched me accomplish something that was really hard for me.
Absolutely. And your daughter apparently jumping up and down because her mom was getting her high school diploma. Savannah, let me get Danielle from, looks like Chester, PA, to join us. Danielle, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thank you for having this program. Sure. I unfortunately tuned in late, but Savannah, I am calling to say thank you to you because right when I turned on the radio, you said exactly what I needed to hear. I have a lot of nieces going through what you've been through, including physical trauma, sexual abuse, feeling like their home isn't a safe place. I'm an aunt to them. I live in a different state, and I try to be an advocate, but I always feel like I'm not doing enough. And what you said was, I think you were talking about the school, but having adults who are happy to see you, want to see you, are providing a peaceful place, a safe space, believe you and respect you. And I know that that means a lot to you. And that's exactly what I needed to hear, that if that's what I can do and have been doing, and I want to continue to do, that's a lot. So I wanted to thank you for those words and say congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know that you're not alone in all these struggles, and I will continue to be an advocate for them and just believe that me providing the respect to listen to them and to believe what they're going through and try to get them into better situations and even provide, you know, an example of adults who can have, you know, relationships without big trauma and conflict is important, just to sort of model that. But I'm so glad I turned on the radio.
Well, Danielle, I'm really so glad you called the show because what you said is very powerful. And I want to give, almost out of time here, give Savannah, though, a chance to respond to your response to her. Savannah, go ahead.
I just want to say you're welcome and thank you so much for doing anything that you feel is the right to do for them, because honestly, for me, not only being a single mother, but just me being able to say that I'm a young teen, and for someone just to sit there respectfully and just listen is the best thing in the world. To just have someone to listen and who cares is amazing.
Danielle, thank you for calling into Radio Times. And Savannah Zayas, thank you so much for being our guest today on the show. It's really been an honor to meet you. We're all teary-eyed here up in Philadelphia.
I know, sorry.
No, it's all good. So Savannah Zayas, she's living in Florida now. She's working in a real estate office, and her daughter, Layla, about to start kindergarten. So thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. Kevin McCrory, education reporter at WHYY for Keystone's Crossroads. It's a multi-station project. It's based at WHYY, examining the urgent challenges facing Pennsylvania's cities, and his brand new podcast called Schooled. It's a three-part series. It's all about Savannah. Kevin, thank you so much.
Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, KeystoneCrossroads.org.
There you go. Maura Bent, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. And she's director of youth programs at Providence Center. That's a North Philadelphia nonprofit where Savannah worked. Sydney Coffin, thank you for joining us, too.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And he's English, journalism, and poetry teacher at Edison High School, where Savannah attended. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Adam Staniszewski, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Trinae Nuri. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you so much for joining us.